You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Vince Ellis of the Detroit Free Press covers the Pistons. Will be with us at 10:30 to talk Detroit Pistons ownership and everything going on with the Pistons being an awful basketball team. But right now, welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS. Dave Benton here with Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer. I want to re-rack what we were talking about earlier with the collective bargaining agreement because, you know, I think a lot of people watch what's going on TV. They hear guys on ESPN and so on and so forth talk about it, but I don't think the normal fan really understands it fully, and it's not their fault. I'm not saying it's your fault, okay, because up until about 3 weeks ago when I started reading into it, and it took me about 3 weeks to really understand it, I didn't get what was going on either, other than the issues that they were raising in the media. And there are some valid issues, but I think one of the things about the collective bargaining agreement that's not being made apparent is the main issue behind why negotiation talks are not going on. And yeah, we talk about the 18-game schedule and how the players want more money and more benefits if they're going to play that. That makes sense. The owners want 18 games. I don't know that the fans want 18 games. The polls certainly show that the fans don't want 18 games. But since when do the fans matter to the owners? Now, the rookie pay scale is another thing that people are talking about. The thing on the table right now, the owners have offered a 5-year pay scale for first-round picks and then a 4-year scale for second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, and seventh-round picks. Okay? Now, the players are okay with that part of it, but they're a little bit iffy on the fact that this hurts veterans down the road, because when you're a fifth-year player or a fourth-year rookie, or not rookie, a fourth-year player still playing on a rookie contract, how broken down are you over an 18-game schedule that you're able to get that type of payday that everybody else was able to get up to this point? So yes, those are important issues in this. But the main issue and the reason that they're leaving negotiating on the table and canceling meetings and all that stuff is revenue sharing. Okay, and there's two types of definitions you got to know. There's total revenue and all revenue. Now, all revenue means everything the NFL brings in over a year. $9 billion is the estimated all revenue that the NFL brings in. Okay, however, the owners, up to this point in this CBA, get a $1 billion credit. So really, when you're talking total revenue, which is the other definition, all revenue is $9 billion. Total revenue after that credit is $8 billion. And that's where the players get most of their money. Okay, the players on the all revenue get about 51% to the NFL's 49%. On the total revenue, after the owners already get that $1 billion, the players get about 60% of that. Now, here's where it's getting interesting. The owners now, in this new CBA, want to get a $2 billion credit instead of a $1 billion credit. So even though the all revenue is still $9 billion, the total revenue that will be divided up is only $7 billion. Okay? So the players are going to have to take a percentage cut if they do that. Now, the players have said, if you want to have a $2 billion credit instead of a $1 billion credit, well, guess what? We need to see financial reports from every single team that says you are losing money. Because that makes sense. If you're losing money, if your franchise is making less money than it's spending, then you need the $2 billion credit. That makes sense. So the players want to see that from the franchises.
How many teams do you think are close to losing money, Dave?
Well, I would have to say, just off the top of my head, the only teams that come to mind that are possibly losing money, possibly, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars might be losing money. It's been a long time since they've been able to sell out. But when you look at a team like the Detroit Lions and they're making money and the fact that they barely ever sell out games, it's hard to imagine too many teams aren't making money. Now, it says the Packers aren't making money. They're still profitable overall. The Packers made $10 million more in revenue than last year and spent $14 million more in player salaries. But that's just 1 year. Overall, the Packers are still in great financial shape. So if you ask me, who is not in good financial shape? I don't know that there's a single team that's not in good financial shape. I think there's teams that aren't making money like the Jacksonville Jaguars, but overall they're still profitable.
So then if there's no teams that are really that close to losing money, then what kind of a leg do they have to stand on to make that argument?
Well, I think you have the leg to stand on if everybody is reflecting the same numbers that the Packers are, which is if you're making less money per year than you're spending, something has to change. Now, does it have to change that much? Does it have to change $1 billion more than what it is now? I don't know that that's the case. But like we talked about, okay, when you look at a league like the English Premier League in soccer, we're not talking soccer X and O's, we're talking business right now, okay? In European soccer, they spend way more than they take in on almost every single team. And the lower teams end up going into administration. They go into bankruptcy because they can't spend like the bigger teams can, and they try to, okay? Same model goes for the NFL. If you're not making money, eventually you're going to run into problems. Eventually the NFL is going to have problems if nobody's making money. Now, is it this year? No. Is it 5 years from now? Probably not. But if you're consistently, every team in the league is losing $5 million per year, that adds up. And that means you need to stop that before it becomes a big issue. Okay? It's like setting any budget in any business. If you notice you're spending more than you take in, you've got to stop it before it does become a problem.
Well, that's the thing that I don't know that people necessarily realize. It is a business. When you get down to it, the NFL is a business. And it's just like any other business. They do need to make a profit, but I personally would love to see their financial records. I'm sure that it won't happen because just the fact that the players want to see them, but they can't let the public see everything that's spent.
Well, and not to mention, I think that the reason they're not showing the players is because there isn't a financial issue. There isn't spending more than they're taking in. Okay, I mean, that would be the only logical explanation. I mean, I'm sure there's some sort of legal documentation they could do to keep it quiet but show the players how it's going and keep it confidential. Okay, I'm sure there's, I'm not a lawyer, I don't know, but I'm sure there's a way to do that.
You know Chad Ochocinco would tweet that out immediately.
Yeah, but you don't show Chad Ochocinco. You show lawyers, you show the player rep, you show Demaurius Smith, and you keep it at that. Okay, but I think the owners probably aren't showing, and this is complete speculation, they're probably not showing it because there's not much to show as far as reflection on how they're getting hurt in the league, okay? But the players, in my opinion, they're at least trying, okay? They've accepted the fact that they're probably going to have to do an 18-game schedule. I think that has become close to a foregone conclusion at this point.
See, I think that might actually be, for the players themselves, like, personally, they put their bodies ahead of anything. I think that might be more of a thing they're against than getting, because during one of the breaks, we looked at it. In, it's what did I say it was? It's 0.3 billion?
Yeah, it's something like $300 million.
$300 million split amongst 30 teams and split between 52 to 70 players. I don't know how much it gets split.
And that would be the negotiated difference for those who weren't listening earlier. That would be the negotiated difference if the players were willing, or if the players took the cut that they were willing to negotiate.
Right. And when you look at it, like, for a per man basis, it's not like you're going to get that much more, but per man, you're going to have to play two more games.
Yeah.
Everyone down the line.
I said it before. I think the biggest issue with the 18-game schedule is you're taking seasons off of a player's career. Okay, if the player's average career is 10 seasons or 11 seasons, just by default, you're taking a season off of their career by playing two extra games per season, which means they're making that much less money, which means that, and also they're going to be that much more beat up. So they need those health benefits when they get out of the league. And I think if the NFL were willing to protect their players more from a health benefit standpoint, I think the players would be a lot more receptive to the idea of playing the 18-game schedule. Like I said, though, the biggest issue with me with the 18-game schedule is not even the players. It's the fact that the owners don't seem to care that the fans are happy with 16 games. The fans don't want it to. I looked at an ESPN poll earlier today. 130,000 people voting. 80% of them want a 16-game season instead of an 18-game season.
Well, and I think it's funny. I'd like to see the results or the kind of the intake they get for the preseason games that teams get, because they charge ridiculous prices just for preseason tickets. Now, I know they don't sell them out, but I wonder how much more they will actually get from the fans, from actually day of game, in-house, in-stadium, how much more they will earn for two more real games as opposed to...
Well, yeah, because you get a ticket, you get a ticket price elevation like you talked about. You're also probably opening more snack stands and stuff. You're going to have more people there than you would at a preseason game. Because, yeah, maybe preseason games get close to selling out, but they're not always sold out. So you don't always open up as many snack stands and things of that nature. So you take that into consideration, and you're right. How much more money are they making? How much more money can they give towards the players? Because the simple mathematics would be, oh, well, they're making two times more. Or not two times more, but two extra games more. But it's really more than that.
Well, also, it could be not quite as much as you would think, because they've got four preseason games that they're making money on. So if you're taking...
Hold on.
Okay. You're taking the 16 regular season games, four preseason. So you have 20 games altogether. And then now you're not adding more games on. You're switching two of the preseason to regular season
games.
Right,
so they would make more money because they raise ticket prices.
But
I don't understand your argument.
It's not like they're just adding two more games on from nothing.
Yeah.
They're already making money from a preseason. They're just making a little bit more now that it's a regular season.
I see what you're saying. Okay, gotcha. Fair enough. And, you know, honestly, it's a worry about only having two preseason games. And not from an injury standpoint, not from anything like that, but NFL teams use those first couple of preseason games to set their rosters, to get their teams ready to go, to decide what their depth is and stuff. There's a reason for those preseason games. Yeah, we complain about them because it can hurt starters and things like that, but those are crucial for coaches to decide who they think should be playing and who should be off the team. And if you cut that down to only two games, you're not only less ready for the regular season, you're going to have more sloppy regular season games, but you're also hurting the depth on teams.
Well, yeah, look at it. I mean, look at third string quarterbacks or even backup quarterbacks across the line. You're never going to see, like, Brian Hoyer, you're not going to see him get any time during the regular season behind Tom Brady, or Painter behind Peyton Manning. Most likely, you're not going to see them. That's the only time where you can really evaluate what they're able to do, and those guys are very important because they're young, and they could be starting quarterbacks in the future. Those are the ideal times for those guys.
I mean, there's a lot of issues with the collective bargaining agreement that are interesting. You know, the rookie pay scale, like we talked about, is an interesting way. I personally am okay with it to a certain extent. I can see where the players' union is a little upset with the fact that you've got to wait that long before you can really get paid. But at the same time, something had to change from all this guaranteed money. Because first of all, if you've got a crappy team, and you end up having to get a couple first overall picks in a row or something like that, okay, that's a lot of money you're putting towards your salary cap for unproven players that, whether you get rid of them or not, whether you have a Jamarcus Russell or a Matthew Stafford, if you've got to drop that guy and he's still got 4 years left on his contract, that still goes against your salary cap, that's still penalizing you. And the fact is that teams are forced into paying these players. Okay, if they wanted to pay a first overall pick something that they valued them at, they'd just hold out and they'd wait for another year. So they're forced to pay these players this amount of money. And to me, that's not really fair to the owners and the teams to have to pay these rookies who they may think at this point, you're unproven, yet we're giving you all this money. So the owners might be just as upset as the veterans are about them making that money. Coming up next, we got to hit a break here, but when we come back, I want to talk more about the CBA, and I want to talk about the issue of, does the NFL have enough popularity to take a strike or a lockout at this point in time? It's up next. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.